Welcome to the Crispin Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Crispin. Topics on today's episode include chatter from conference hallways, my interview with Emera Catalyst Tony Moss about the Extreme Climate, Housing, and Finance Leadership Summit on April 18th and 19th in Washington, D.C., and mortgage rates seem happy where they are. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Stabby. Stabby's loss mitigation solution offers a top-tier experience for homeowners and servicers, streamlining processes into a secure, customer-centric platform. It ensures transparency and real-time access to data, documents, and eligibility decisions for all stakeholders. Stabby's system ensures compliance, expedites decision-making, and provides servicers with flexibility to adapt to evolving business conditions. This enhances pull-through rates and enables better management of variable costs, ultimately optimizing the loss mitigation process. For the most part, no one in this industry thinks they earn a living by making predictions. Instead, providing accurate information to other managers and owners, and acting as an advisor about loan profitability, leakage, concession, and margins. Capital market staff are also involved in LO and executive recruiting efforts, and in developing strong product offerings to help the company be successful. Sometimes it can go awry. The U.S. Department of Labor has ordered a former senior vice president and two managers employed by Prime Lending to pay $35,000 in emotional damages and the legal fees of two California employees who the company fired illegally after they reported a branch manager pressured them to pass on fees to loan applicants caused by the company's internal processing delays. Investigators with the department's Occupational Safety and Health Administration found the nationwide lender violated whistleblower provisions in the Consumer Financial Protection Act by terminating the employees who raised their concerns with the regional manager and senior vice president of human resources. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome to the show Emera Catalyst Tony Moss to talk about the Extreme Climate, Housing, and Finance Leadership Summit on April 18th and 19th in Washington, D.C. The event aims to create sustainable solutions through peer-to-peer collaboration and purposeful interaction. Participants are thoughtfully curated C-level executives on an invitation-only basis. On-stage discussions are hosted and facilitated by Emera Catalyst CEO Tony Moss and CJ Patrick and Company CEO Rick Sharga.
The last Emera Catalyst event was in February of 2020, and you chose to theme it Entropy, Surviving the New Abnormal. I keep hearing all this buzz about your big comeback event, which is called Going to the Extremes, the Extreme Climate Housing, Finance and Leadership Summit. What is it? When is it? What are you going to be talking about? And what's all the buzz about? Sorry for all the questions, but I'm excited to hear about it.
It's an event that's focused on the impact of climate change on the U.S. housing market. And I don't think we're hearing about it all the time because the insurance companies are certainly adapting to climate change. That's why you see them exiting certain markets because their losses are so high. But the mortgage industry and the housing industry in general isn't adapting much at all. And I think that's why it's needed to bring everybody together and all the primary constituents and talk about what we need to plan and what we need to do and how we can prepare for a future that we know is only going to get worse.
I actually want to back up a little bit. What was your inspiration for starting these events? Why did you see it as something that the industry was missing and needed and could provide value to people?
Well, back in, from 96 to 2001, I worked for a division of the Dutch government. It was called Bouwfonds. It stands for Building Funds. And it was the company that was created to rebuild Holland after World War II. And I wore a hat as a residential originator and servicer, and then on the commercial side as well. And so I spoke at so many conferences around the world, whether it was about mortgage origination or servicing or global ABS, and I found the events to be really void of any meaningful content at all. They were just a big party, and the sessions in the event were a sideshow that people rarely attended. And I thought by 2001 that based on the current trajectory of mortgage markets, that they were going to implode and that we needed to talk about it and actually try to head it off. So I thought that someone like the International Monetary Fund or the European Central Bank or the US Treasury should do an event like that. So I created an entire program, took it to them, and they thought I was absolutely out of my mind. So I knew so many people because I traveled on average 250 days a year that I ended up just doing it myself. And because I didn't apply a typical conference producer methodology to the event, I had a lot of quirks that were very unique to me. And music, for example, is one of them. The interactivity is another. So I started it to head off a crisis in global mortgage markets, and I'm back to try and head off a crisis with regard to climate change.
I actually just read a very interesting article in the New York Times about Dutch architects finding ways to actually build on water and work with it, and it could be safer than actually building on land. I mean, the Dutch for centuries have been trying to figure out what to do, whether it's building nice houses on stilts or the dike system or whatever it might be. Are there lessons you feel like Americans could learn from the Dutch? And I say that with the backdrop of, even if people don't necessarily believe in climate change, the same severity of storm now versus 100 years ago is going to cause exponentially more dollars in property damage because of the increase in property values.
Yeah, and because of the increase in urbanization, right? So, you know, if somebody doesn't believe in climate change, do they believe in extreme weather? And do they happen to be aware and notice that the weather's becoming a bit more extreme than what we're used to growing up? Can we learn from the Dutch? Absolutely. The Dutch are famous engineers, right? Because the entire country is below sea level. But it's not just learning from the engineering. It's Dutch society. They have a social structure that care about the collective good. And in the United States, we would look at something like that, and just the word collective is a bad word in American vernacular, right? But in order to achieve these changes, you have to have social will and social agreement that it's a problem. And so I don't think that we will learn from the Dutch, but we certainly can.
Considering all these critical issues that mortgage lenders and servicers are dealing with right now, why do they need to focus on climate change? Isn't that something that can be kind of put off into the future?
Well, I wish the insurance companies were putting it off, because my premium just went up 38% in 1 year alone. And I'm sitting here in Austin, Texas, right? So we can't put it off, because some of these solutions that we're going to try and come up with are going to take a couple of years to implement, if not more. So we're already dealing with it with the insurance crisis. That's the canary in the coal mine. And if you think about it, the entire mortgage system is predicated on a very complex system of risk transfer. And we're now losing one of the greatest mechanisms for risk transfer, which is property and casualty insurance. So look at where it's disproportionately falling on government and on consumers, and then you can see that the center will not hold at all.
You and I could and probably should have a future discussion on what happens when the government becomes the insurer of last resort, or these insurance companies leave certain markets and the negative ramifications of them doing such. We'll save that for another day, though. I want to talk kind of practical solutions here with you. What's the first thing that lenders need to do to start preparing for the impact of climate-related financial risk on their business?
Okay, this is really simple. Number one, acknowledge it and talk about it. Seriously, I am absolutely shocked in the process of doing this event, how many originators and servicers I've talked to, and they laugh, or they tell me that it's not important, or that they'll deal with it when their house blows down. So I think that, you know, companies like PennyMac are already benchmarking their portfolio. Planet Home Lending did the same thing. Look at where your portfolio is located. Look at the geographic concentration. And remember that one of the greatest threats, it isn't the hurricanes or the tornadoes, it's extreme heat and severe drought. You know, you look at Mexico City and they're running out of potable drinking water. In fact, they're out right now. You don't think that can happen in Phoenix or Las Vegas? You're out of your mind. And you think they're going to come up with a viable solution. But right now, there is no viable economic solution for that. So you've got the Hoover Dam is 24 feet away from Deadpool. And then all the electricity to Las Vegas stops, as well as other places. I mean, there's some really serious issues. And by the time they happen, it's too late. And I'll leave you with this. It's like a tsunami. When you look out on the ocean and see a tsunami coming, it doesn't look like much at all. But once it reaches the shore, it's absolutely unstoppable. And that's the best metaphor for this.
That is a good metaphor. I have two more questions for you before I let you go. The first would be, can you give us more information on the event? When, where, how do people register? What's the best next steps here?
Okay. So it's an invitation-only event, but to get an invitation, all you have to do is go to my website, mayorcatalyst.com, and you can request an invitation. And the event is April 18th and 19th. It's at the Gaylord National Harbor, which is in the Washington, D.C. area, but it's actually in Maryland. It's closest to National Airport. So April 18th and 19th, Gaylord National Harbor, and you can request an invitation on my website. And when you request the invitation, just tell me who you are and what you do and why you want to come.
Tony, before I let you go, I want to close by asking you, I mean, we're talking about a risk that has consequences even today. But I mean, looking years down the road, what do you plan to accomplish with this event?
To get the dialogue going, to get everybody talking about this, it's really interesting to have investors in the same room as Fannie and Freddie and all the federal agencies and the White House and originators, servicers, home builders. Everybody has a different take on this. And so I'm going to write a white paper after the event. It's looking to be around 80 pages right now. So I'll be busy for a while afterwards. And we're going to identify where all the problematic areas are, such as, for example, should we create a GSE for insurance companies? Because it's inevitable when you see all the state fair plans failing that states aren't able to incorporate this risk either. And we have to prepare for a potentially uninsurable future, which is terrifying.
Certainly is terrifying. I'd love to have you back on the podcast when you're done with the white paper to discuss some of the findings, if you're open to that. I really enjoy talking about this. So thank you very much for gracing the airwaves today.
You're welcome.
There's not a whole lot to report from yesterday. Consumer confidence was little changed in March, with consumers remaining concerned about elevated price levels, according to the Conference Board. Consumers expressed more concern about the U.S. political environment compared to prior months. The market saw a bit more buying than in previous days, in reaction to a strong $43 billion 7-year note offering. And since we can't go a day without talking about the Fed, you've probably noted that some Federal Open Market Committee voters ratcheted back their estimates to 2 rate cuts in 2024 from the group consensus of 3 25 basis point rate cuts. However, of potentially more interest to the mortgage industry is the central bank's massive balance sheet of treasuries and agency mortgage-backed securities that remains from the past 15-ish years of aggressive experimental monetary policy. The Fed has been open about wanting to eventually get back to an all-treasury balance sheet, so it is expected that the central bank will not halt the runoff of agency MBS that has averaged about $16 billion per month over the last 6 months. The central bank is expected to reinvest those proceeds into treasuries, so where will demand for agency MBS come from? Hopefully domestic banks. U.S. domestically chartered commercial banks' total holdings of securities as a percentage of their balance sheet, and agency MBS in particular, has ticked up over the past 6 months. This trend should continue as long as the relative value of agency MBS remains favorable compared to investment-grade corporates and treasuries. Tomorrow, the markets are closed, and today brings a busy schedule in terms of data ahead of a SIFMA-recommended early close, which also happens to be a month and quarter end ahead of Good Friday. There will be a commentary tomorrow that includes the PCE reading, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. This morning, we've had the final look at Q4 GDP, in at 3.4%, higher than previously, but viewed as old news. The weekly jobless claims, in at 210,000, with 1.819 million continuing claims. The core PCE deflator was 3.3% versus an expectation of being unchanged at 2.1%. Later today brings Chicago PMI for March, Michigan sentiment, pending home sales for February, Kansas City Fed manufacturing, several Treasury auctions of short duration bills, and Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey. We begin the day with agency MBS prices, little change from Wednesday, and little changed all week. The 10-year is yielding 4.23 after closing yesterday at 4.20%. And the 2 years at 4.62. There's little movement after the salvo of news. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. An angel visited a woman and told her she must give up smoking, drinking, and unmarried sex if she wants to get into heaven. The woman replied that she would try her best. The angel visited the woman a week later to see how she was getting on. "Not bad," said the woman. "I've given up smoking and drinking, but when I bent over to look in the freezer, my boyfriend caught sight of my long, slender legs and high heels and pulled up my skirt and made love to me right then and there." "They don't like that in heaven," scolded the angel. The woman replied, "They're not crazy about it in Costco either." Thanks again to today's podcast sponsor, Stabby. Stabby offers a flexible and fully customizable loss mitigation solution. Servicers can easily adapt to regulatory updates and market conditions, providing a seamless, customer-centric digital experience. Stabby transforms a potentially stressful time for customers into a streamlined, secure process. If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.